You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Today's message is about the Old Testament story, often called Jacob's Ladder. Jacob's Ladder teaches a great truth about God that can help you feel better about your lot in life. What God told Jacob so long ago was a great inspiration for Jacob to move confidently ahead into his unknown future. It's my prayer that you, too, will be blessed, and that God's Spirit will give you confidence to face today and all the tomorrows of your life. Let me begin by reading the story. It comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Someday, God's people, someday the people redeemed by Christ, someday sinners whose only real confidence is in the good news about Jesus, someday they'll be in heaven. We might say that they'll be at the top rung of that ladder of glory. Through faith in Christ, you will be with all God's people at the top rung of that ladder. The angels will carry you into glory. And when you've ascended into heavenly glory, the words of Revelation will be fulfilled. The tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, nor will there be grief, nor crying, nor pain, because the first things have passed away. Someday you'll see the glory of Jacob's dream, the glory of heaven, the glory your Savior Jesus won for you by his death and resurrection. Someday you'll be on the top rung of Jacob's ladder. Someday. But now you find yourself at the bottom rung, a long way from glory. For whatever reasons, life has brought you troubles that you never expected when you were young. You sympathize, or you should sympathize, with Jacob, who really was at the bottom rung of that ladder. Jacob and his brother Esau had a falling out. Because of greed, Jacob had stolen Esau's blessing from Father Isaac. Stealing a blessing may not sound like a big crime in our day and age, but it certainly was back then. By a cunning trick that deceived his aged and blind father, Jacob stole the blessing of Father Isaac upon the firstborn son, Esau. Now, when Esau discovered that his blessing had been stolen, he was enraged, and he wanted to kill Jacob. I don't mean that Esau simply wanted to take Jacob behind the barn and whoop him. I mean he wanted to kill him. So Jacob fled for his life. It may have been the first time he ever was away from home. Certainly, Jacob knew that he couldn't return home again. Jacob couldn't go back, and the future was uncertain. He didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. Why, Jacob didn't even have a pillow. He had to put his head on a rock and sleep out of doors. Jacob really was on the bottom rung of life's ladder. We can sympathize with him, can't we? We all have our days when we feel very much alone in this world. Think of the times you've had a falling out with somebody. Jacob and Esau were on the outs, and that happens today too. Disagreement, argument, personality clash, separation, divorce, generation gap. Because somebody doesn't like you, you feel that you're on the bottom rung of life's ladder. Those falling outs make you feel lonely and isolated. For some of us, those lonely days become months and years of unrelieved helplessness. I think of you who are confined to your home or to nursing facilities. I think of you who are so far from family because of military service. I think of you who are in prison. I think of you who are in a hospital. So many of us can readily identify with Jacob. You feel helpless. You feel alone. You're isolated. Tomorrow may not look any better than today. Only more of the same. Looking at our lot in life can be very, very depressing. It's pretty easy to come to the conclusion that you are on the bottom rung of life's ladder. My message today is that the bottom rung of the ladder isn't as bad as we often make it out to be. When you open your mind to what God is telling you, you waken to the good news that the Lord is with His people at the bottom rung of life's ladder. When you can't sleep well because your problems are as hard as a rocky pillow, you can rest comfortably, remembering that God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When you think that the Lord is far removed from your life, when you start to think that God is isolated in heavenly glory, then the story of Jacob's ladder reminds you that God is with you at the bottom rung of life's ladder. Listen again to what God said to Jacob. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. God told Jacob, I'll be with you. That's a promise that God has repeatedly made to His people. God's Son Jesus said, I am with you always. Like Jacob, that's a promise you and I need to hear and remember. No matter how lonely and helpless you may be tempted to feel, God's promise to be with you is a promise that can awaken you to joy and confidence. He has promised to be with you, right there at the bottom rung of life. The prophet Isaiah said of Jesus, He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. You have a Lord who is quite at home on the bottom rung of life. There were times during His earthly ministry when Jesus showed Himself in glory. Transfiguration was one such time. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him to a mountain. And there Jesus was transfigured. His appearance was changed. He radiated the brilliant glory of God. Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus in glory. They had a conversation. The topic of that conversation is significant for people who yearn for glory and would like to avoid present earthly problems. The conversation Jesus had with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration was not about glory. They didn't talk about the top rung of the ladder. Instead, they talked about Jesus' coming crucifixion and death. They talked about the time, to use again the prophet Isaiah, when he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. That conversation demonstrates the kind of God and Savior you and I and Jacob have. With all his majestic glory, he came down to be with us. God came down in Christ and was born in a cattle shed and laid in a feeding trough. The glorious thing would have been to be born in a palace, but the circumstances of the Savior's birth were lowly and humble. The circumstances of his life were similar. Jesus once said that foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. Jesus understood Jacob's rocky pillow very well. The Bible tells us that the child Jesus grew wiser and taller and won the approval of God and of people. But the Bible also tells us that the adult Jesus received enmity from many people, most notably the self-righteous people. These were the people who thought that they had climbed into God's favor by their own efforts. There still are people today like that. Anyway, these self-righteous people often got mad at Jesus. In Nazareth, some got so mad at Jesus that they tried to stone him to death. Eventually, Jesus' enemies succeeded. He was arrested. He was tried by a process that made a mockery out of justice. He was condemned to death, not because of any true evidence, but because of the malicious intent of his enemies. He died. Jesus died on a cross, the instrument of torture reserved for foreign criminals. The hostility between Jacob and Esau was trivial compared to the hostility the Son of God endured. St. Paul describes it this way in Philippians chapter 2. Although he was God, he did not consider being equal with God as a prize to be displayed, but he emptied himself, made himself a slave, became like other human beings. And when he appeared in the form of a man, he became obedient and humbled himself even to the point of death. Yes, death on a cross. Now let me ask you, do you think no one has it quite as badly as you do? Do you think you're really all alone on the bottom rung of life's ladder? Jesus knows. He's been there. Jesus did climb the ladder of glory. He arose on Easter. He ascended into heaven. He is now in all the glory that he revealed at the Transfiguration. St. Paul says that God the Father glorified Jesus because of Jesus' suffering and death, because Jesus was willing to come down for us sinners. Paul says, God also very highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, everyone on heaven and on earth and under the earth should kneel, and that everyone should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Someday you are going to be in that glory too. You'll be there, not because you climbed your way to the top of the ladder of glory, but because the Son of God came down to save you. But that glory is for some day in the future. You're not in glory yet, and your Lord knows what your life is like now. He's been there, and he's there with you now. As the glorious God said to Jacob with all his problems, so he says to you in your need, behold, I am with you. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, tells what happened after Jacob dreamed of the ladder and heard God's promise of his presence. Verse 16 says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" Don't we have to confess that too? Most of us have heard from childhood on how God is with us, how Jesus loves us, how we are His dear children. But when things go bad, all those reassurances of divine support easily become empty cliches. We forget that the divine Son of God is really with us on that bottom rung. We clutch to hang on to the ladder instead of letting ourselves fall into the comfort of His promises. We confess, "O God, so often I forget Your promise to be with me in my problems." Like every other sin, those sins of forgetting God's presence with you in your problems is forgiven. It's forgiven, not because you promised to do better in the future. It's forgiven, not because you think you've been a pretty good person all your life. No, your sin is forgiven only because of Jesus, who came for you because you so desperately need Him. Since you are forgiven for all those times when you forgot the promise of His presence, you'll want to remember that He's always with you. You'll want to receive the joy and confidence that is yours from knowing the Savior is no stranger to your problems. You'll want inspiration to face today and all the tomorrows of your life. You want that, don't you? I know I certainly do for myself. And it's available to me. It's available to you in God's promises. It's waiting for you in the Bible. It's there. All you need to do is take and read. Take your Bible and read the promises of God's presence with you. You'll find, as I have, that those promises of God's presence will sustain you. In Isaiah chapter 43, God puts the promise of His presence this way: "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Fear not, for I am with you." No one wants trouble. Jacob didn't. You don't. I don't. But the bottom rung of life is the best place to appreciate what your life is ultimately all about. At the bottom rung, we know our problems, we know our sin. At the bottom rung, we can look up to the glory that will be ours in eternity. At the bottom rung, you can be reassured that God is with you. Amen.